Hello and welcome to So You Think You Can Fanon. Please check the link tree in the description and see all of our beautiful, lovely, salacious links to listen to more. Thank you.
Welcome to the company podcast. Your continued viewership is valuable to the company and we appreciate it. This is the So You Think You Can Fanon branch of the company podcast. Please go buy our merch for 5 million scrap. I now direct attention to employee Sergio.
You can get our merch on the black market for much less.
Thank you, employee Sergio. Employee Bertram.
Buy merch.
Buy the merchandise for the company.
Welcome to So You Think You Can Fanon's Lethal Company Extravaganza Bonanza. Blah, 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 blah. I'm Matt. This is Sergio. And Kai, also known as Bertram.
What do we have for the company today?
All right. Well, we were originally supposed to be doing our Dune Messiah book club today, but Jacob's internet decided to go
shit itself.
And I can't figure out how to fix it. He can't figure out how to fix it.
What the hell's wrong with it?
Every other device in the house is connecting to the router, and his computer is connecting to the Wi-Fi, but it's not giving him internet. So it's giving the, you know, connected, no internet. And then when you try to, like, network, like, troubleshoot it, it's like the default gateway is not available. And we tried everything to get it to connect, and it's just not. I'm assuming
that really sucks.
It's probably a router problem, considering the router isn't handing him his device a connection. So,
yeah. Well, that sucks. We'll cover it some other day, though. Which I'm very excited for. That book is really fun and it's great. It might be one of the best books I've ever read and may ever read.
Damn, that's high praise.
It was a good book.
It was really good.
It's a really good book.
But we will have to wait for that.
Yes, we will. Because for right now, we are talking about not Shai-Hulud, but Lai-Kumpanud.
Sure. Are there any worms in Lethal Company? I don't think there is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there is. There's a Shai-Hulud.
Oh, yeah. In the desert area, right?
Yeah, it even looks exactly like the ones
in other
from Dune.
Moons.
Yeah, it actually spawns on a majority of the moons, I'm pretty sure.
It's just rare.
It doesn't come up that often, but it's there.
And they are not easy to avoid.
And they're actually the deadliest creatures on any of the moons. Because they can eat any monster.
Yes.
Nothing is safe, including the old birds in the new update can also be killed by these things. Which is really funny.
Why don't we take some time to talk about Lethal Company? Because we've been like really busy with stuff and haven't had time to talk about Lethal Company on the podcast, even though we've been playing it for
quite some time. Hours.
Yes.
I think that's a good idea. So, did you start playing it before I did, Sergio? I think you did. Because Jacob was like, oh my god, the company is so funny. Yeah. I have to buy it. And then I bought it. And yeah, it is really fun. I think it's not a party game, but it extols the same kind of childlike comedy that a party game does, where there's just insane shit happening all the time. And I think that is amplified rather dramatically by the nature of the horror in it, because you're on these terrifying planets inside these non-Euclidean liminal space corridor mansion facility areas, very reminiscent of the Backrooms in a lot of ways. And
it even has a Backrooms homage.
Yes, it has a little segment of a room that looks just like the Backrooms. And I don't know. The fact that people die so often in the hallways of that game is so fun.
I think what sold it for me was that I was sold on it through clips that it was, you know, a co-op horror game that was also hilarious.
And it is.
yes. And that's why I wanted to play it. And I really like it. Because, like, I wouldn't even say it's scary most of the time. I definitely get a sense of dread a lot when I'm playing it. Especially when I'm trying to talk to Jacob on the walkie and he has it off and isn't responding to me immediately. Or this one time that the most, like, recent time we played, when we were, like, you and Matt had died, and Jake, just as Jake hit the, like, to take off, a swarm of baboon hawks,
oh my god,
crashes
yeah.
into the ship and kills him, and the ship managed to take off before, like, they dragged his body out, but it was scary.
Dude, there can be some moments of, like, actual terror in that game, because sometimes I'll forget I'm playing a game, and then I'm just in there in the trenches, like when I was being chased.
It's very immersive.
By the old bird.
Could you imagine Lethal yesterday. Company VR?
Oh my god, that would be nuts. When I was being chased by the old bird yesterday, and I, like, climbed up the chain link fence, I was acting on pure instinct. Like, I know you said, oh, I wondered how you knew how to do that. And I'm like, I don't know. I was just spamming buttons to get away.
You have some interesting moments of instinct in that game. I remember once we were playing together and you were going to get eaten by a mask that had down the stairs on Titan.
And I was just kept walking away.
The fastest I've ever seen somebody turn around and run away from a mask was when you did that, and you navigated flawlessly back to the ship after grabbing a bunch of loot.
Oh, it's because I heard the footsteps, and I knew that you were, like, in my moment, in the moment, my brain was just like, Matt's dead. So I just ran. I was like, that is no one.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
I have a lot of weird moments like that. I think that's why I like the game so much, though. I'm basically obsessed with it at this point in time. I think about it every day.
it's a really good game, honestly. It captures the imagination.
It's very spontaneous. Like, every time you play it, it's different. And it manages to still be enjoyable, even when it's frustrating, just because so much random shit will happen. And I think one of the best parts about it is that even if you're experienced at the game, you can still be humbled so fast just by random occurrence.
Yeah, I am notorious for just randomly dying to a mine, honestly. I'm just not always... I'm going too fast and I don't look where I'm stepping sometimes.
I'm notorious for having the game glitch in order to kill me. I have had a Bracken glitch out of the facility and kill me before. That was horrible.
Yeah, like, that was horrifying.
I'm just so good at the game that it just needs to fuck up to kill me.
Yeah, it has to nerf you.
Yes.
I think also it scratches an itch for me, being part of a genre that I can only describe as dudes go into place, where you take four like expendable nobodies and send them to go out to do some dirty job. Like, yes. You got Lethal Company, you got Content Warning, which is Lethal Company, but you play as us. Warhammer Vermintide / Darktide, Helldivers, Deep Rock Galactic.
Talking about the four-person group goes and does something genre that Left 4 Dead started?
I mean, yeah, Left 4 Dead is, like, the originator. Also, I guess you could put Phasmophobia in that, too.
Yep.
But I specifically mean, like, kind of, like, I guess, like, the faceless aspect of it, too. Because obviously in Left 4 Dead, you were, like, specific characters. Mm-hmm. But, like, in, like, you know, Lethal Company, you're just like four guys.
Four minimum wage workers.
Four Wendy's employees at 3 a.m. trying
Are we even making a minimum wage?
Maybe not.
If you get good scrap hauls, then technically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's also very possible that on your, like, 3-day shift in Lethal Company, you make nothing.
Use all of it and die.
that's the nature of commission work, sadly. You might get nothing. Reminds me of the fact that my great-grandpa used to be a rail worker who drove the spikes into the ground for the rails, and he got really pissed when the unions took over because he loved the piecework because he worked way harder than everybody else. So he would get the most money, and then he got paid the exact same as everybody else.
No matter That's the draw with commissions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can make the yep. big bucks if you're good at it.
I want to take the conversation back to something. Kai, I'm very thankful that though you are obsessed with Lethal Company, you are not obsessed with the monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Because on the topic of what we're going to cover today, well, I think it's okay. fair to point out.
I have a caveat to that. I am obsessed with the monsters, but not in, like,
when they're cute.
The way you're talking about. No, I mean, like, I'm obsessed with learning, like, what the AI is behind them.
And, oh, like, yes.
What you need to do to defend yourself and, like, how they work.
That's a very good part of the game, too, the way the monsters are designed. They're super
well programmed. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. There's a lot of, like, mathematical detail that goes into the game. Like, even just down to how monsters spawn and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
That's what I'm truly obsessed with, like, learning yes. how it works.
And Spore Lizard. You and also are obsessed lizard. With Spore Lizard.
And the loot bug.
And the loot bug. And I don't think there's... the Tulip Snake, I guess they're on your shit list now, because they keep...
They are on my shit list. I thought they were friends.
They're not
actually
friends.
Enemies.
They're frenemies. Since they...
I have died to them twice now.
Yes. They're very... Well, mostly me killing you while you have one on you. I need to just learn to give you the shovel.
Well, one of the times they just flew me up into the air and dropped me, and I died from the fall damage.
Oh! That's interesting.
No one saw it happen.
That's terrible.
It just happened in the background.
That's terrible. They can also kill you with the fan. That's another thing that you need to worry about with them.
Oh.
You know that fan in the entryway? Yeah, you can get killed by that.
I did not know that.
Yep. But back to what I was saying.
On the map where they latched onto me, sorry to interrupt one more time.
No, go ahead.
On the map where they latched onto me into the facility and were flying me around the entryway, I was going to leave the entryway because I was concerned about the fan. Like, I didn't know it would actually do anything or not. But now that I know that, cool. But the reason I didn't want to go anywhere else was because there was just there was one of those gaps. Like in the room next door, there was a gap, and it's like, I can't go in there because they're going to fly me over and then drop me into the gap.
Can they control your lateral movement or only your vertical ascent?
They can control your lateral movement, I believe.
Interesting. What's your favorite monster? I assume the Spore Lizard is probably your favorite because he's completely impervious to all forms of damage
yes.
and also doesn't hurt you.
I love the Spore Lizard.
My favorite one is the robot because it has
you like
beef.
The old birds. Oh my god.
You may continue, Sergio.
Yeah, I like the giant robot that they just added. Because I think it's really funny that it just decides to exterminate everything around it with extreme prejudice. And, you know, seeing it just fire a rocket launcher at a bunch of the tree giants is a little cathartic. And then it comes
yes,
for me.
It is.
And then it's terrifying.
Well, don't worry. Shai Hulu.
That thing's a run ender. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. It's weird. It feels like it's not actually that hard to avoid their missiles from killing you. But I know there's other ways they can kill you, so...
Yeah, because they can just step on you.
Or grab you and then vaporize
you. Or grab you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or stomp on you, which is different than stepping on you. As we found out in a video.
Yes, we did. It's crazy. My favorite monster might be, I don't think it's the butler, but the butler is really cool.
Butler's like, interesting.
I like the idea of the butler. I think my favorite monster might actually be the coil head because of how much it fucks you over the second it comes into the fucking map.
Dude, and I'm they decently give me so much good panic. At dealing
with them, so.
I hate
them. Good dealing with them.
Yeah, you're the only one who can deal with them.
I
thought you would like the masks because you go so sicko mode on them.
Well, I can only go sicko mode on them with somebody else with me.
That's true. It's very hard. No, you've defeated them by yourself before.
Before, sometimes.
Like that one time I fell off a ladder and then you just went nuts and killed like 3 monsters in the span of 10 seconds.
It's because I thought you screamed out Fishu as you fell. And I was so pissed because it had such a shitty run. It made you
berserk.
It flipped a switch in my brain receptors. All my senses of sympathy for monsters flipped on their head.
It was crazy to watch that.
But we like the monsters of Lethal Company quite a bit. There are some
that love them.
Who love them. And in not the right way. And I know you're not supposed to judge people on the internet, but oh my god, that woman who posts about the Bracken grabbing her and doing things to her in the facility on the subreddit needs to stop posting art about it. It's bad.
It's bad. We had to stumble through a lot of grape non-con to bring you the fanfic that we're going to read today.
I know. Every single one of them is about the fucking most insane amount of sex orgy stuff inside the facility. Like, come on. Horrifying. We did find some good ones, though. I found 2 very cute, innocent ones. Sergio found a normal one, and then Sergio found a horror one. And I think today we're going to cover the horror one, and at some other potential time in the future we may cover some of the other ones.
All right, so we have Welcome to the Company by Vorin, also known as Toloso. Summary is, you're in deep. Access code, Sigurd.
Isn't it Sigurd?
Is it? I can't remember.
I thought the access code is Sigurd in the game.
Yeah, it is. It is Sigurd. Weird.
Damn, fake fan.
Fake fan. Yeah, it's 100% Sigurd. It's not Sigurd. Well, get owned, get wrecked. L, pronouns in the bio, blue hair pronouns.
I honestly burst out laughing when I saw he woke abruptly at the beginning.
He woke.
We have brain rot. We have terminal brain rot.
We do.
He woke abruptly. His body shivering from the cold and feeling weightless. The darkness of space surrounded him, vast and incomprehensible. The company's space shuttle chugged along like a train, its engine humming softly in the background. But despite the noise, there was a profound stillness that enveloped him, accompanied only by the distant twinkle of the stars. He felt small and insignificant in the endless expanse, a mere speck floating through the void. The view outside the small window was awe-inspiring, endless darkness sprinkled with glittering stars and distant galaxies. The steady hum of the company's space shuttle echoed like a distant train, reminding him of his current location in the universe. Silence enveloped him in this alien environment, but it was a different kind of quiet, one that might drive a man to madness. He had just escaped from one of the company's many facilities. He was part of a 4-man crew, but now he was the lone survivor. His friends had been brutally killed by a strange red humanoid with sharp spikes that moved with incredible speed and stealth. It lurked in the shadows of the facility, waiting for its victims to turn their backs before pouncing and snapping their necks with deadly precision. He thought back to when he was running through the dimly lit corridors, his heart racing, his muscles burning at the time. He could not help but wonder, Kai, you'd be this guy.
Where did everyone else go?
As the sole survivor, he was tasked with contacting the company to report the accident. The once lively and bustling space shuttle was now eerily silent, the lifeless bodies of his colleagues scattered somewhere in the facility, forever lost. He hesitated before dialing the number, dreading the all-too-familiar robotic voice that would answer. It was the same fake voice he remembered from the interview and training videos, but this time, it held an apathetic weight. It seemed to have heard his words as it quickly responded to the promises to contact the families and find replacements, but its inhuman speed and artificial tone made it difficult for him to fully understand. The heartlessness of the company struck him, not even allowing him a moment to grieve before demanding his return to their base world. "Employees need not mourn," the voice stated coldly. "A replacement will be found. Return at once." As he hung up the phone, he could not help but feel like just another disposed cog in the machine of ruthless efficiency. Despite being an archaic piece of technology, a previous crew had managed to install a logs feature into the company's terminal. It was their last-ditch effort to maintain their sanity in the midst of chaos. Now, it was his only reliable source of information about the company. The logs were like a treasure trove, dating back 500 years to 1968. The author in the logs had survived all this time was a mystery to him. The terminal itself was a strange combination of old and new, its software bearing a copyright from 2084 to 2108 by Haldel Electronics Incorporated, while its hardware continued to evolve with over 500 years of progress. Every button and screen was an intricate fusion of ancient and modern technology. The mighty space shuttle sliced through the vast emptiness of the void, its powerful engines thrumming with a steady and unwavering hum. The sound reverberated off the sleek walls of the cockpit, a constant reminder that he was completely alone in this endless expanse, surrounded only by twinkling stars and unfathomable darkness. Every now and then, a blip of light would streak past his window, a fleeting comet or asteroid on its own journey through the boundless reaches of space. He couldn't deny it. It was truly monotonous, sitting in solitude for months on end with nothing to do but stare out into the abyss. He had already exhausted every form of entertainment available in the shuttle. He couldn't help but think that perhaps the company wasn't joking when the robotic voice had stated, "The shuttle will be your home, your resting place, and your bathroom for the duration of your contract. In other words, all your time will be confined within its walls, save for trips to facilities." The monotony of his solitary journey had begun to wear upon him, and the isolation only served to magnify his thoughts. He couldn't shake the feeling that there was more to his mission than just delivering data to the company. The sounds of doubt had begun to sprout in his mind as he began to question the nature of his work and the true intentions of the company. It caused him to slowly lose touch with reality. He would find himself talking to the empty chairs, slicing through the slices of bread in his meager rations, and even conversing with the unresponsive holograms of the company's support personnel. Sometimes he thought he saw flickers of movement in the darkness beyond the window, but he couldn't be sure. On the bright side, he had discovered a hidden cache of cigarettes in the shuttle storage locker. That served as a temporary source of comfort, making him feel connected in a way to his former life. As he took a long drag, he stared out into the darkness, contemplating the life he left behind and the company. The cold and hollow hole in his chest would not leave, and so he simply stopped contemplating on that altogether, instead thinking of any useful thing he possibly could. The universe stretched out before him as if it was a canvas, endless and inscrutable. He felt like a tiny, insignificant speck adrift in the void, and it was the thought that truly sent a shiver down his spine. Lost in the darkness of space, with nothing but the hum of the shuttle's engines for company, he couldn't help but wonder what fate had in store for him. As he gazed outside into the unfathomableness of space at the company's shuttle, he couldn't help but regret accepting their job offer. The shady nature of the job was becoming more apparent day by day, and he was blinded by the despair he was in. Or perhaps it was the way they had conducted the hiring process, a strange voice on the phone conducting an assessment exam that seemed more like a mind game than a legitimate test. They had promised to him, in the mechanical and robotic voices, "The pay is good, and the contract only lasts a season." But now he couldn't help but feel wary of their intentions. When he arrived at the shuttle to meet the rest of his crew, no one spoke to him. The autopilot took control as they flew towards their destination, and he couldn't shake off the feeling that something wasn't quite right. Looking back, he realized even the voice on the phone had sounded fake, just another tactic used by the company to lure in unsuspecting workers for their own mysterious agenda. The logs proved to be invaluable as he sifted through the pages of history, decoding the cryptic messages that lay within. As he read the previous logs, he suddenly got an idea. He should write his own log. Go ahead, Kai.
First log, December 26th. Date, December 26th, 2468. Hello? Yes, to you. The girl reading this. The one reading this. Behind that.
What?
I just remember this meme about, like, to the girl reading this or something.
What the fuck?
Like I said, I don't remember. I just remember that quote.
You lost your mind. The company's taken your faculties. To the girl okay. reading this. I don't care if you're not a girl.
Well, I did just find out Know Your Meme, so I'm not crazy. But anyways. Okay.
All right, I'll believe you.
The one reading this behind that screen. Do not panic. This will be a valuable information. My name is Sigurd. I am the sole survivor of a once four-man team. I suspect I do not have much time. I will leave you with this. Do not trust the company.
Do not trust the company. This is wrong. You should trust the company.
Well, this was okay, I'm interesting.
Back. Sorry.
No. It's all good. I should have read the text. So I'm getting the sense that the space, it's unfathomable. The stars, they're twinkling.
Yes.
What's the ship engine doing? I don't know what the ship engine is doing. Can you
humming
that one? It's humming. Okay, it's humming. What does he?
This is well written, though. I like it.
I think parts of it are well written, but the paragraphs could be one fifth of the length and convey the same amount of feeling, I think.
Yeah, but they have a gravitas.
Do they have a gravitas? Maybe I'm just a filthy plebeian and I can't appreciate how.
I think the mighty space shuttle paragraph could use a few spaces.
Maybe.
That is fair.
Okay. Should we go into the second chapter then?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wish there was like more, I would say. Maybe. These are pretty short. I just wish more would happen.
Yeah, I think that's my problem. A little less description of what's happening and more things happening. Here we go. Chapter 2, Meeting the Quota. He gazed out into the endless void of space, the inky blackness stretching out before him in every direction. In the distance, a desolate and despondent planet loomed, its barren surface pocked with craters and devoid of any signs of life. This was the company's main base, a cold and desolate outpost amidst the vast expanse of space. Even from this far away, he could feel the oppressive weight of their presence on that remote world. The space shuttle hummed steadily on autopilot, carrying him closer and closer to the main base. He felt a sense of detachment as he gazed out the window at the vast expanse of stars and planets. In this moment, he realized the true extent of his lack of control while working for the company, as if he was merely a pawn in their grand schemes, being moved and controlled with no say in his own fate. The cold, sterile atmosphere of the shuttle only served to reinforce this realization, making him feel small and insignificant in the face of such vast power. As he neared the main base, he couldn't help but wonder what other secrets and revelations awaited him within its walls. The shuttle docked to the main base with a soft thud, the airlock hissing as it pressurized. He took a deep breath, steeling himself for whatever awaited him on the other side. The door opened, revealing a stark and sterile corridor, illuminated by cold fluorescent lights that cast an eerie shadow upon every wall. The silence was suffocating, broken only by the distant hum of machinery. With each heavy step, his boots clanged against the metal walkway, echoing loudly through the desolate corridor. Despite society's achievement of intergalactic transportation over 890 years ago, The company's main world was a stark contrast. Here, all traces of progress in modern technology disappeared, leaving behind a bleak, desolate landscape. The continent was nothing but a vast expanse of gray, ashen concrete stretching out towards a never-ending sea. And atop this cold and lifeless expanse stood an imposing fortress, built entirely from concrete, with no signs of nature or warmth in sight. His body trembled as he gazed at the looming, imposing fortress. He had been here many times before, selling all of his scrap to meet his quota. But he could never grow accustomed to the sight. The cold stone walls and watchtowers seemed to mock him with their unshakable strength. And now, he would be forced to wait even longer on this desolate planet for his new crewmates. The thought filled him with dread and a tinge of bitterness. The air was stale and heavy with the smell of rust and decay, adding to the suffocating atmosphere of the place. He couldn't shake off the feeling that he was trapped in a sort of prison, with no escape in sight. As he collected himself, the determined man continued walking, his steps quick and purposeful. He approached the front of the company's fortress, a sprawling structure made of steel and concrete. Multitudes of red cargo boxes were scattered around the selling station, waiting to be filled with valuable goods. Ahead of him stood a tiny counter, barely big enough to fit one person behind it. A silver, old-fashioned bell sat on top of the counter, gleaming in the light. Above the counter, a sign caught his eye. "Sell scrap here!" Feeling a twinge of hesitation, he sighed before proceeding with the old routine. With diligent care, he carried his precious scrap to the counter and placed it down with a satisfying thud. His hand hovered over the bell for a moment before pressing it, just once, remembering the eerie tales he had heard of a strange clerk who would eat anyone foolish enough to ring it too many times. He hesitated for a brief moment, uncertain if he should press the button again, but before he could make a decision, a grotesque beast of red and fleshy tentacles shot out from the machine, snatching up all the scrap without hesitation. The sound of its writhing appendages filled the air with an otherworldly terror, grateful that he had not been in the path. He let out a sigh of relief and made a mental note to only touch it once in the future. As the abomination retreated back into its hiding place within the machine, a voice crackled through the intercom, filling the room with an eerie echo. "Transaction complete. Quota complete. Proceed to Sector 7 for crew repurposing." The voice was robotic, cold and emotionless, lacking any human warmth or inflection in the slightest. He shuddered, reminded once again of how dehumanizing this place was. Leaving the counter behind, he followed the signs that led him deeper into the fortress. Each step took him further into the heart of the maze-like corridors, their walls adorned with faded posters depicting images of industrious workers. Smiles were plastered on their faces, but their eyes, they told a very different story, one of resignation and despair. The air grew heavier as he reached Sector 7, a dimly lit room with rows of machines humming in the background. He hesitated before entering a concrete room at the end of the row, marked by a small sign. Inside, there was only a single seat waiting for him in the middle of the room. He sat down and waited in silence until suddenly a voice boomed out from an intercom speaker. It was the same voice he had heard earlier, commanding him to "please go out to meet your new crewmates." His heart raced as he stood up and slowly opened the heavy door, unsure of what awaited him on the other side. Stepping out of the concrete room, he found himself in a vast hangar bathed in an eerie glow. A series of towering machines lined the walls, their mechanical arms reaching out like skeletal fingers. The air was thick, with the acrid scent of fuel and the distant hum of engines. As his eyes adjusted to the dim light, he noticed a group of figures just outside, waiting for him. Approaching cautiously, he saw that they were his new crewmates, waiting in anticipation for his arrival. Their faces were obscured by shadows, but he could sense their naivety and excitement. He could tell they were newbies, fresh meat in a sense. Their eager expressions were a stark contrast to his own wariness and caution. He had been through this only once before, seen the cycle of hope and disillusionment play out only once. He'd heard about it time and again. But something about these newcomers stirred a flicker of empathy within him. They were about to embark on a journey that would test their mettle, their resolve, and their ability to be good employees of the company. As he approached, they turned to face him, their eyes wide with curiosity. The youngest among them, a boy, no older than 18, stepped forward tentatively. His voice wavered with a mixture of excitement and nervousness as he spoke. Go ahead, Sergio.
Are you Sigurd?
Then he nodded, his gaze shifting in to take the rest of the group in. There was an air of vulnerability about them, as if they were lambs being led to a slaughter. A pang of guilt tugged at his chest. How could he guide them into this? How could he be the one to shatter their innocence and expose them to the harsh realities of the company? He'd heard firsthand how it chewed people up and spit them out, leaving them broken and disillusioned. It had done that to him and his other teammates. But at the same time, he understood that they needed someone who had been through it before. Someone who could show them the ropes and offer guidance when they inevitably stumbled. Taking a deep breath, Sigurd mustered a smile, attempting to project an air of confidence despite his own reservations.
"Yes, I am Sigurd,"
he replied, his voice steady.
"Welcome to the company."
The young boy's face lit up with relief as he extended a hand.
"I'm Max,"
he said eagerly, and Sigurd shook his hand firmly, feeling a sense of pity for him as he saw the excitement and happiness in the boy's eyes. He could see himself in that boy, remembering the sense of purpose and idealism that had driven him when he first joined the company. It was a distant memory now, long buried after his gruesome experiences in near-death situations. Nonetheless, he would do his job. He only had to do it for this season, and it was nearly the end. He gave the group a false smile, a sense of guilt growing in his heart. He smiled and introduced himself to all of them. Their names were Max, Federico, though he preferred to be called Pico, Lilith, and Evelyn.
Okay.
Hmm.
Definitely good at drawing in the sense of foreboding when it comes to parts of the facility.
It feels a lot like an H.P. Lovecraft kind of tale. Like, it's written in that sort of way where it, you know, it focuses a lot on the atmosphere.
Interesting. That's fair. I like that. We could read the third one if you guys would like, or we could completely shatter the sense of doom and suspension over the podcast episode and read a 600 word one about the hoarder bug being cute.
I do want to read the loot bug story.
All right. Are you in agreement, Sergio?
But don't you want to read the first facility? Come on.
Maybe. What do you think, Sergio?
I'm good with either.
I like the loot bug one.
All right, let's read the loot bug
post. All right, I've just posted the link. It is called Like Penguins. Where the city sleeps.
Where is this link? Or did you put in the Zencaster?
It's in Zencaster, okay. Yep. I should probably put in the server as well, just so that we don't lose this forever. Alright. Like Penguins, Where the City Sleeps.
I like the tag, I see two things, I make them kiss.
I wrote this in
30 minutes at 1 a.m.
No beta. We die like players doing jumps. One shot. All right. Shall I read this, or Kai, do you want to read this?
I don't know. I guess I'll read it. It's short.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Summary. Did you know that some species of penguin give gift pebbles to the one they are courting? Or a hoarder bug meets a bracken, and curiosity gets the better of them, and suddenly this bug is sharing loot with a pearly-eyed stranger. That's a funny thing to call a bracken. Pearly-eyed stranger that comes up behind you and snaps your neck.
It's just what Tumblr loves.
Yeah, I guess it is. All right. Did you know that some species of penguin gift pebbles to the one they are courting? A fun factoid he had learned by overhearing a conversation of some company men a few rotations ago. Not many humans ventured this far into the solar system, so the vast population of hoarder bugs has had plenty of time to grow their collections. This bug in particular, though, he was looking for something truly special. He had seen the simple puzzle cubes and shiny goblets that the vast facility had to offer, and he had grown tired of the autonomy. I believe they mean monotony.
Monotony, yes.
Monotony.
That's a very odd use of autonomy.
Yes. The monotony of the same impossibly winding corridors of scrap metal and toys. It was on one of these adventures from the colony that this particular bug met that stranger. Ooh. He had ventured far out, and many pieces of human weapons, which most of his kind steer away from, and stumbled upon a blank room, dimly lit and void of any loot. He had never seen such a room as this before, and was dismayed to find no items within its eerie taupe walls. With a saddened few clicks, the hoarder bug turned to leave back toward the intersection of halls when he froze in his tracks. Before him, peeking out from around the corner, was a humanoid figure. Not quite human, however. The stranger was as still as a stone, with piercing white eyes that reflected the dim lights like pearls. He had several appendages sprawling out from his back, just barely peeking around the doorframe. As soon as the two made eye contact, the dark figure retreated back into the shadows, and the hoarder bug went back to his colony. On another such expedition, much like the first, the hoarder bug was dragging an axle back in the direction of his home, unaware of his surroundings. Suddenly, he looked up, and there was the creature again, frozen at the other end of the hall. The hoarder bug chirped cautiously. What was this strange creature? Why hadn't he heard anything matching this description before? Before any communication could take place, the mysterious creature, with its pearly eyes, began retreating again, much like he had the first time they encountered each other. This time, however, the hoarder bug was determined to learn more. He followed the stranger all the way back to the strange room from before. Peeking in, he could see the strange figure sitting pensively on the floor. He mustered up all the courage he could and then stepped into view. The figure startled onto his feet, clearly defensive. The hoarder bug cricketed to the stranger as if to say, "I don't mean to cause trouble." Wait, should I have had someone read that? I don't
know. No, that's fine.
Okay. The stranger carefully sat back down, not feeling threatened by the bug. The hoarder bug could tell the stranger was a bit uncomfortable being so close to another creature. The hoarder bug scuttled over and plopped down next to the stranger, hazing into those pearly eyes. Slowly, the stranger became less rigid.
Rigid.
It's just a funny word. Swaying gently back and forth to the tune of the slightly buzzing lights overhead. It was then the hoarder bug got an idea. He quickly scurried out of the stranger's room toward a piece of loot he had seen in his pursuit of the mystery creature. A painting. Intricate lines of oil paint forming a beautiful forest scene, all wrapped in a deliciously gold frame. It sounds like we're gonna eat this. Like, damn. It's pretty tasty. It took some difficulty, but after a few minutes, the hoarder bug had returned to the room, and to his delight, the stranger was still sitting in the center, swaying lightly. Alerted to the noise, he turned to the hoarder bug and cocked his head at the sight of the small bug dragging the large painting. The bug, however, simply set the painting against the wall, leaning opposite of where the stranger was seated. The hoarder bug scuttled next to him, and after a brief moment of hesitation, curled in his legs and cozied himself up next to the figure as they both gazed at the painting. That's really cute.
That is very cute. I like that. Ties into the fact that the hoarding bugs and Bracken are completely immune to each other, and they don't do anything.
That is true.
I like it. It's a cute one.
I liked it. It was cute and short. They are friends.
Also, I read a bit of the other one that I found, the puppy dog one. The Thumper. The Thumper is the puppy.
Ah, okay.
It's very weird. We'll perhaps read that another time.
Also, this is the profile picture of one of the people who left a comment on the story, and I feel like it fits in with the story. I'm going to put it in general.
What kind of profile picture is it? the, the blue fish with a bow holding hands with the muscular brown fish from SpongeBob. What the fuck is this?
I don't know. It's just somebody's profile picture in the comments here.
This is the most incomprehensible profile picture I've ever seen.
I like the whale in the corner just like staring at them.
Yes.
In it's confusion.
Really funny. It's really funny.
It just feels like the story.
Like, it does feel
the big muscle fish is the Bracken, and then the blue tiny fish with the purse is the
hoarding bug. Yes. All right.
I don't know. There's a lot of weird profile pictures in these comments if you look.
There are always a lot of weird ones like that. Also, Sergio, when this Lethal Company fic, Welcome to the Company, gets updated, maybe we should read more of it.
Yes.
I agree with that.
We can put a literal pin in it in our Discord server.
Yeah.
Excellent. Go ahead. And with that, I think we're done with Lethal Company, unless anybody had any grand plans to stream Lethal Company play gameplay through the podcast only.
I would like to ask you guys, what would you like to see added to Lethal Company? Because for a while, I was a bit sad that it didn't appear that Lethal Company was getting updates, but it's still getting updates. But what would you like to see added?
I would like to see some element of upgrades added to the players in some capacity, maybe.
Like some of the mods that you have that are like...
Yeah, I think the late game upgrades mod is amazing.
Better skills and stuff.
Yes.
Making more money, or being able to run faster, or being able to regenerate health. These would all be good.
Those would be pretty good, I would say.
I'd like to see more moons and even more mobs.
Yes, more moons. I'd like to see one that costs 10,000 to get to, and if you do, you get killed instantly.
10,000 quota stare.
Fuck moons.
10,000 quota stare.
Well,
a
yeah,
whole
planets.
Ass planet would
we
be cool.
A whole ass
maybe.
Planet.
Multiple
asteroids?
Locations on the planet.
Asteroids would be cool.
Interesting.
Like, you have a time limit before the asteroid like either burns up or like knocks into something. Could be cool.
There is a game that me and Jake play called Void Crew, which is kind of in that similar vein of faceless nobodies go to do job, that has you like retrieving things from facilities on asteroids.
Interesting. Yeah, it's got good
Why
reviews.
Do you think that genre is so popular?
It's because that's what life is, really. What is life if not a series of four dudes going in and doing something and then getting out?
That is true. But why do we want to do that? Like, if that's what real life is, why do we want to do it in a game?
I mean, imagine you're out in
the It's 10,000. Just the quintessential dude experience.
That's true.
Yeah, imagine
it's that
10,
Sigma male
BC.
Grind set.
It's 10,000 BC. You're hunting with your tribe and you're all tired and suddenly you need to find a place to stay after you've moved out and there's a bear in the cave. And it's like, well, we got to go in there and get the bear.
Oh, so you think it's caveman brain that likes this? It's
Absolutely.
Just like, yes.
Absolutely.
Unga bunga.
It's objective focused unga bunga caveman brain.
Unga bunga bottom text.
Unga me bunga. But yes, that's my theory. That's my thought process on it.
Very interesting. I guess that makes sense.
What do you think? Do you think it's not caveman brain?
I don't know what it is. Because I really like these games too. Like, I have this weird thing where I feel like I tend to get more attached to the games that involve doing a job for whatever reason. And it's like most people, including myself, hate working. But then when we get to play a game that is a job, we're like, yes, this is good.
I think it's because there's no stress in real life tied to it. Like, obviously, if you had to live with the consequences of what happens to you in Lethal Company, that would be horrible.
Well, you would,
but
you would die.
You would
so,
die. And you'd have
guess,
a lot more dread about it. But, you know.
Yes.
You get to experience a life of a horrible job with none of the consequences. So it's just pure schadenfreudic comedy at the horrible things that happen to you.
That's true. Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
That must be why we like it.
Yes. There's nothing funnier.
Schadenfreude.
There's nothing funnier than watching somebody get launched off a fucking cliff by the tank and left for dead. I'll never forget.
Or now getting launched by the old bird in this very game.
Yes, I agree. And you know what else? We're going to launch the fucking audience out of this podcast episode. Go check our other ones.
I think also for me, as someone whose friendship was built on, you know, the four-player co-op game that is Payday, I think that's why I'm just kind of drawn to these sort of, like, four-player cooperative type of games. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I guess that's the fair. Quintessential game, isn't it? Four-player co-op.
I mean, that's always, like, the limit, you know, that most games ascribe to. Because, you know, most consoles usually only allowed for, like, four controllers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that four is the limit. That's sort of an arbitrary thing, isn't it?
I mean, it's the most that you can cut up an image on a TV.
I mean, like, it's arbitrary in terms of the game's design. Like, there's no reason there couldn't be, like, eight people in the game at once, or 12, or something like that. It's just...
Yeah, in terms of Lethal Company, there could be more. There's even that mod.
I have a theory, though. Mm-hmm. Four is, like, a very balanced number, because, so you can cut it up into two groups of two, which is pretty good. Like, that's mm-hmm. how you maximize efficiency in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Or you could split it up into one person and then a group of three, which is also quite balanced in terms of, like, sharing activities or whatever.
Yeah.
So I feel like the reason it's four and not like a larger number is because this is the smallest number that you can use to, like, ensure maximum efficiency, especially for games that are based, like, on numerical things.
Yeah, like in MMOs, the four-person party, which is usual. Well, at least in Final Fantasy XIV, it's one healer, one tank, two DPS, mm-hmm. and then that ratio gets applied when you go to, like, 8 to 12 to 24 mans.
Interesting. Yeah, I think you do have a good point there numerically. Like, in order to get another even split of players, you'd need to probably go up to eight players from four.
Yes, which is a pretty big jump. Would be a little unbalanced, because then you'd have, like, you could split it up into, like, two groups of three, but, like, groups of three aren't as good as, like, groups of even numbers, because people tend to get, like, weird about making decisions when there's an odd number of people.
I agree. I think that makes sense overall.
It's very strange, though. Also, eight feels too hard to manage.
Eight must, like, be a lot. There's difficult to have one goal in mind with eight people.
You would have to split into groups of four at that point, and then your groups of four might also subdivide as well.
I would like an eight-player game mode for this game. Like, I don't know, like a big scale excavation. That requires more people.
Mm. Yeah, I guess if you went
to a planet, you could do, like, eight people.
Yeah, there are mods that let you get more than four people, and they're very easy to get.
I know there are mods, but I mean, like, actual, like,
curated
in-game gameplay. Support for that, where it's balanced around having a ton of people. I think they should also give me a gun in Lethal Company. Isn't there the shotgun?
They have the shotgun.
They should add more guns.
They should add more guns. I agree. They should add a rocket launcher.
I like that you're helpless in there.
I also like the helplessness, but, like, now that there are giant mechs with rocket launchers, I feel like we need to level the playing field, you know?
I think there should be a way to, like, disable them in some fashion. Like, I know there technically is a glitch that will disable them if you do it properly, but I want there to be a mechanic where, like, I don't know, you can have one person distract them and then, like, another person, like, I don't know, hop on them and turn their off button on or something like that.
Allegedly, Shai Hulud can consume them.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. This is true. Shai Hulud can kill them.
What was I going to say? Oh, it would be interesting if you could steal the power source from the old birds, and if it was an apparatus. But you can only do it when they're cool. firing missiles or something like that.
That would be cool. You gotta mount them, like in Monster Hunter. You gotta mount them. Plow them into the facility wall.
Yeah, that's what I want in Lethal Company, the insect glaive.
That would be great. I'd love that.
Yeah, actually what this game is missing is a Monster Hunter collab.
Yes.
You know what? You're right. You're 100% right.
I'm sure a lot of people would love that. I'm sure.
Like, imagine you've been brutally mauled in the facility. Just as you come out, Vigor Wasp.
Oh.
Gives your health right back.
Damn. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, why can't I chug an armor skin? You know what Lethal Company needs? An armor system. Give me like a ballistic vest pickup that gives me armor.
That's fair. You know what? You could also have like bionic legs or things like that. That could be the upgrades. You just buy a piece of equipment that you add onto your character.
Make it cyberpunk as well.
Yeah. Maybe it permanently removes an inventory slot from you until you die.
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool, actually. And there should also be a way to gain more inventory slots as well. That could be a cool mechanic.
Yes, I was looking for a Monster Hunter mod, Sergio, for you, and I accidentally found one called The Peepers, which is a mod that adds non-lethal starfish that attach themselves to you and hug you outside of the facility, and they do nothing else.
You know what the shame is? That I'm playing Fade Rotha in Monster Hunter Rises.
What?
I can't use the Muscle Girl mods like I was using for World.
You had Muscle Girl mod.
Yeah, I had the whole like Muscle Girl mod pack.
Oh my god,
that's hilarious! Well, that is so assured. Sergio core.
I sent Kai screenshots of my character at the beginning when I had the Muscle Girl mods on.
Oh yeah, you did.
Oh my god, that's crazy. Sergio, you're a monster.
I didn't do any of the nude ones. I just need to see some.
They
abs.
Just have abs. Yes.
Well, rest assured, Rise has the best abs mods because they fucking flood the mod page.
Yeah, but I'm not playing as a woman, Matt. I'm playing as a dude.
Here,
you can give Fade Rotha abs.
It's not the same.
Just tell me what the armor is. I'll wear it for you. Then you can look at my character. You can have buff Chani.
Chani would be buff. Since she's a warrior.
Yes, she would.
Come on.
Yes, she would.
I'd imagine you'd have to have some sick arms to ride a sandworm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd have to be ripped as fuck. Throwing those hooks. Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Yeah, there's a lot of buff girl stuff in Rise. Fucking everywhere. What is a... I'm looking for it now. It's called the EBB, I think.
Yes, extra buff body.
Extra buff body.
Okay. Ah, the EBB.
EBB. Is there an EBB one for the Sonic armor? There probably is. Yep, there it is. All right. You're about to die, Sergio. I'm going to send this to you, and you're going to die, and we're going to end the recording.
I just had a thought that I was like, what if we had EBB for real life? And then I was like, wait a second, that's just steroids. That's just PEDs.
It's called PEDS.
This is peak.
Is it peak?
This is peak.
You should make Fem Rotha.
Oh.
You can what was I gonna say?
I'm very happy that they specifically modeled the back muscles. But there's also something a little off-putting about it, and I think it's probably because of the ways how Rise's models look.
Yes, it is simply how Rise's model looks. But yes, make Fem Rotha and wear the Sonic armor and obtain enlightenment, Sergio. That's my life goal.
What's the female name of Fade Rotha? Because Fem Rotha just sounds weird. Would it be Freya Rotha?
Freya Rotha. That works pretty well.
Okay.
Fadina.
I I guess Fade sounds kind of gender neutral anyway.
Yeah, Freya. Fade could be gender neutral. Freya works. You can, there is a character edit thing for free in the Nexus page that just lets you change your character file directly.
Damn. I think I'm gonna keep the meme going. I'll be okay. Fade for this.
Get a character sex reassignment surgery when you hit mastering. That'll be your reward.
Damn.
It's like those what's it called? Like those memes where it's like, oh, cool monsters, and it's like the real message going over their head. It's like, oh, cool monsters. You become transgender on main quest completion.
That'd be great. I'd love that. All right.
My favorite one is the one from New Vegas where it's like, nuclear war is bad. Bisexuals do 10% more damage to everyone.
Helpful. Very helpful.
It is. It is very helpful.
All right. We've gotten horrendously off topic, so we're going to cut it off there.
It's time to die. We love you. I love the company.
Yeah.
I don't love the company today.